Let's start. I'm sure that you all had an occasion or two to see this a beautiful painting of an old barn, the tattered roof, broken hinge doors, and shattered window, and the paint peeled off the wall, its wall. And if you see it in real life, if you're there and you think that, wow, it's ugly, I don't want to be here. But somehow, if you see it in the painting, like this one, it's a watercolor painting that I found online. If you see that, it's very peaceful. And somehow, you think that there's a history behind this barn. And you like to know, you want to see what kind of thing happened behind the scene. But let me ask you this. Is barn changed? Is that the same barn? Yes, same old ugly barn. Only difference is from the same ugly barns to the painting, now it's a different story. It's like a master artist drew that ugly barn and became a masterpiece. The difference is not the object. The difference is the artist, the master artist. That's like us without God. We are nothing more than an old tattered barn. And I know some of you are thinking, no, I'm not tattered barn, I'm good looking. Okay, you're good looking, but inside your tattered barn, God put new life into us so that we may become new creation in Jesus Christ. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Amen? Apart from Christ, we are nothing, as Jesus taught us in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. He said, away from me, you are what? Nothing. But once the Lord get hold of our lives and He transformed us from inside out, our Lord goes to work like a master artist and He changed the image of the old ugly barn to the place we love to be. At first, our transformation is hardly noticeable. But in time, His artistry begins to glisten. People look and admire, some perplexed at the change. And they ask you, what happened to you? And some people even say, whatever you have, I want it. Your life become a witness, your life become a testimony to Jesus Christ. Because He changed you. You might be one of those people who used to cuss every other word. Have you ever heard of somebody in a conversation? Every other word is a foul language. If you have to mute that person's conversation, you have to do it every time. Beep, 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 beep. All of a sudden, that person got saved. And that person no longer cuss. And you kind of wiggle your ears and clean your ears. What happened to this guy? The person who used to bark orders, he could be the boss, employer, at his people. And he no longer does. He's polite. What made him to be changed? Or somebody who used to drink heavily, and she no longer drink, and she's a good mom. What happened? God? Deep within, God started to change. Has nothing to do with the old barn, but has everything to do with the master artist. And He get the glory. He has made us useful and approachable. He has molded our worthless lives into the priceless work of art for His own glory. However, sometimes we forget our sinful beginning. Our pride stands up and parades our spiritual charms. We act as if God performed a great work on us because He had a great material to start with. Really? No. In other words, we behave just like the 1 Corinthian people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26 through chapter 2 verse 5, where we are going to study, the Apostle Paul set the record straight. He reminded us, if it were not for our God's gracious intervention in our lives, we would still be spiritually ugly old barn. Amen? Let's stop and pray. Gracious Father, it is simply amazing and actually beyond our expression that you who do not need anyone or anything have chosen us and extended your scepter of grace and mercy toward us. And you have been good to us when we do not deserve you. You have cared for us when we've been careless. You loved us when we've been terribly unloving. You faithfully and graciously and constantly pour out your good things upon us. Thank you for your deliverance and your discipline. Teach us today your way that we may walk in your truth. Give us undivided heart that we may know your name and fear your name. We pray that let your Holy Spirit pour out his anointing into our hearts, that we may understand your word and anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sin. Father, we pray for President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, we pray that your will be done in their lives. Those who need to be saved, they may come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We also pray for our uniformed personnel, our troops, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters. Father, we are asking you to put the hedge of protection around them. That is in Jesus' name. Verse 26 of chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians, please. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Stop there, please. Including us, people like to talk about their good old days, don't they? They say that it's a good old time, really. But if you bring up their desperate time, their difficult times, it's not pleasant for them to hear. The time of difficulty. Paul starts his rebuke with the fact where they were. They were not mighty, as we just read. They are not wise. They were not noble. But they were called. By whom? By whom? God. God chose rubbish things of the world. God chose bottom rung people. And they were not as high on the social ladder. They knew that they were nothing but the door hinges and tattered roof and broken glasses of the ugly barn. Even so, out of grace, our God stooped to paint them and made them one of his masterpieces. Listen, gospel of God's grace leaves no room for personal boasting. Unlike us, God is not impressed with our looks, our social positions, our achievement, our natural heritage, or financial status. One of the things that we study in our inductive Bible study in the midweek service, and I point out to the participants, is that notice repeating words in the portion where we study. Notice the repeating word. As I said before, God does not waste any words. If he repeats more than once, then there is a reason for it. Did you notice that something when we read, there is a repeated three times. God has chosen. That's the phrase and meaning that determining intention from the God's part. It has nothing to do with ours. Such grace should remind us that the artist, not the art, should get the honor. Why has he bothered to make us, any one of us, valuable? God will not tolerate the proud. So he stepped on the proud and arrogant upper echelon of the society by lifting up the dregs of the society as the honored citizens of his kingdom. So if you think you are special and you are saved because you are special. No, God is special, and that's why He saved you. Listen carefully, please. Pride is a self-deification. Let me say one more time. Pride is a self-deification. Let's be honest. It is that competitive drive within to be richer, to be cleverer, and to be better looking, and more powerful than someone else. We like the feeling and the recognition that comes from the standing above the rest. And we seek these pleasures in everything we do, including the pursuit of God, including in the ministries. And you may say, well, there won't be any pride in the ministries. Seriously? You don't notice that? If that's the case, pastors would not bicker with one another. If that's the case, pastors would not have a territory issue. In these four verses, these four verses are very personal to me. Let me tell you my own story. Now the people are going to be awake. Soon as I say, tell you the story. The Lord called me to be a pastor around the late 1990s. I was excited at the same time. I was half scared to death. I love to study the Word of God and love to teach the Word of God. And I still do. Though I was a lay pastor for the prison inmate for a long time, I had a captive audience at the prison, South Wilma prison in Wilma complex. However, having a church and being a pastor of the church outside is a complete different story. In year 2000, I felt that Lord called me to be a pastor in Sararita, which I could not even pronounce, so I had to ask where he is. Him, Fred Alvarez. He had to pronounce it really slow several times. And he taught me how to call it proper way instead of doing it in gringo way. So I studied the Bible, I thought about it. But the pastor who was in Tucson, who had a large influence on me, told me that I should not start a church. I was devastated. I was confused. And then that pastor went behind me and asked another person, who was a friend of mine. He asked this friend if I'm good enough to teach the Word of God. Because he thought I shouldn't be a Bible teacher since I don't speak good English. That hurt me. That confusing time lasts about a year. Though through the much prayer and the encouragement from others, we started Bible study in 2001 in a person's home. There were 8 people, including my wife and I, 25% of the congregation, right? Instead of folding up and quitting it, church started to grow. And finally, that pastor who tried to stop me had to acknowledge that the call of God is upon me. A couple of years later, I went to the Senior Pastors Conference in Southern California. There, I met another pastor from another Calvary Chapel, and he blurted out to me, he said, "When are you going to start to speak good English?" And I thought, pastors are supposed to encourage one another, edify one another, build up each other, and support each other, not tear down. Yes, I do have a couple of complexes. First one is a language. Second one is education. Yes, I have a college degree, but it's not a college degree from the Bible college. I don't have a seminary degree. Nothing to show up to you. I have problem with the language, as you can tell. I don't speak fluent English. Funny thing is, the person who was making fun of my English did not speak good English either. That person had a bad grammar. He said, me and my wife went to Albuquerque. I thought, it's supposed to be I and my wife, not me and my wife. You know, I realized that it's not, if you guys get anything from me, from the Bible study we do on Thursday night and Sunday morning study, if you get anything, you can tell it's not from a person with a broken English. You can tell it's from the Lord. God used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, God used the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. If you're looking for example, you're looking at me. I have nothing to show it to you. I don't have an education. I don't have a good language. I don't have an oratorical skill like some pastors would. But I do have a call of God. I do have one promise that I make every Sunday before I get on the pulpit. Let them be the best fed sheep, most loved sheep in the world, not because the one who speaks, but because the Holy Spirit who speaks through. Some people, some pastors have a long range plan. I don't. They think about, oh, in 5 years we're going to do this, 10 years we're going to do this. And if somebody asks me, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to lunch. Because I don't want to live long. I don't care to live long. Everything that I have in the future will be written by God. I have a blank paper. Whatever He chooses to do, I will do. Again, if you get anything out of me from my teaching, it's the Lord. He speaks to you. And I am happy. Just a side note, no extra charge, since you came. Please do not make fun of somebody's shortcoming or the handicap, whether it's a physical, emotional, spiritual. You may think it's funny, but to that person, it can be damaging. You don't know what that person is thinking. Even that person is making fun of himself or herself. Do not make fun of that person. If you really need to make fun of somebody, pick on yourself. Self-deprecation. It's good for your own soul. And it helps you to teach you not to take yourself too seriously. Why do we have a pride issue? Because we take ourselves too seriously. Alright, back to the study. Verse 30. First three verses, we found that the fact. Verse 30 and 31, we find a stark contrast. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who came for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Stop there again. The world will look for heroes. If you don't think, just look at the movie titles nowadays. And who are the characters? It's not good enough to play with the classic novels. They have to pick a comic books, superheroes. Hero is not good enough, so they have to choose the superheroes. World look for heroes, but God seeks the humbles. And the world is impressed by the power, prestige, and money. God is impressed only by Christ, the gentlest, most humble person who ever walked on the earth. Therefore, God has given His Son preeminence over all creation, and made Him our wisdom. Christ is our righteousness. Through Him we are justified and released from the penalty of our sins. There are scripture verses. I want you to go look at them. Make sure I'm speaking the truth. Christ is a sanctification. Through Him we are made holy and liberated daily from the sin's power. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 and 1 Peter 1:1-2. Christ is also our redemption. Through Him we are glorified and free forever from sin's presence in heaven. Amen. Romans 8:23, Revelation 21:9-22:5. Again, alone we are nothing. Can you say with me? Alone we are nothing. But in Christ, we are invaluable. The difference lies in Him, not us. Thus, if we have to boast at all, boast in the Lord. Amen? Why does God use foolish things and foolish people to shame the wise in the world? And because foolish people cannot claim that their accomplishments are done by themselves. They themselves and people around them can see it is from God and give a glory to God. Let me ask you this. We talk about glory to God. Have you ever asked this to yourself? Is God glory hog? He's always getting a glory. So is he glory hog? Why does he do that? Have you ever thought about it? Let me answer that to you. If we give glory to a man, put that person in a pedestal, and we would tend to put our hope in that man more than God. People can and will let you down one way or another. God will never let you down. In His love for us, God tells us to put our entire hope in Him and give Him glory so that we will not be disappointed by Him. Do you get that? Don't put your hope in things or in people. Chapter 2, verse 1, please. And brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or the wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ whom crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive word of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of man, but in the power of God. I see three things. Number one, message in verse 1. Although Paul was a deep thinker and good debater, he could not match the oratorical skill and commanding presence of Apollos. It didn't matter to Paul, though, because his goal was to highlight one message, Jesus, Him crucified. Nothing else was matter to him. So when we started a Bible study at the beginning, the one verse came to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Go back there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, Him crucified. That is our church slogan. Jesus whom crucified. Second point, method we find in verse 2 and 3. When Paul served the Corinthians, he did with in weakness and fear and much trembling. This forced Paul to depend on the Lord, not on his knowledge of the scripture or his capability to explain to the people. The result was staggering. People were getting saved left and right, and the gospel of truth was spreading throughout the shop and alley, even temple. People are coming to know the Christ. The pagan people who came to their home church and leaving their home church with a praise for God in their mouth. How that happened? God used the foolish things of the world to confirm. Like Paul, we may not be a fearless soul or great public speaker, but then we don't have to be. The Lord will reveal His strength through our weakness and inadequacy. All He asks is that we rely on Him as we carry out the task He has for us. It's not ability of man, bless you, but the man's availability to God. Of course, we cannot go on without using that particular verse, Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power, what? But by my Spirit, says Lord. You rely on God. You rely on God. God will do. When I was a baby Christian, I had a zeal for the evangelism. I was miserably lacking in tact. It was not unusual for me to just blurt out the gospel of Jesus Christ who had no intention to listen to me. And then, with that bluntness, people coming to Christ. I got excited. Now after almost 30 years in the Lord, I'm a little more polite. I'm a little more tactful. I learned to wait upon the Holy Spirit to speak to the people. Somebody asked me, somebody said, I'm a better salesman than you are. So I said, I beg to differ. I'm a salesman for God. I have one item to sell, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Third point, motive, verse 4 and 5. Couldn't the Apostle Paul take a speech lesson and from the expert of communication or oratorical skill of his days? And you probably ask the same question. Hey preacher, can you not take a speech lesson or an English grammar class for you to speak better? During my prison ministry, one of the inmates told me, you are hard to understand, so I have to pay more attention to what I thought. Good. I'll continue my broken English. One time I was listening to a pastor's teaching. He spoke 45 minutes. The first 30 minutes, he just had his congregation in stitches, one joke after another. And they were laughing, having fun. He was teaching Book of Romans. For 30 minutes, he never cracked one verse. If some of you are thinking that that's what the church should be, delightful, funny, humorous, wonderful, if that is the motive, you came to the wrong church. The purpose of your purpose to go to church, you should go to church to hear from God, not from man, not to listen to some funny joke lines. If that is the case, stay home. Watch Comedy Central Channel or watch the Joel Osteen. He'll make you laugh. No truth, but he'll make you feel good and make you laugh. Someone said this to the group of pastors. If you want to be popular, preach happiness. If you want to be unpopular, preach holiness. Do you get that? Nowadays people don't want to hear the holiness of God. They rather have their bone tickled, itching bone tickled. Listen, human ingenuity and rhetorical flourishes is never bring people to salvation. Only the simplicity of the gospel coupled with the work of the Holy Spirit can humble people and lead them to the redemption. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Four applications for you. Number one, remember the pit. Remember where you came from. Hopelessness. God is molding us into the priceless the work of art, perfect image of His Son. Let's never forget that He found us in the spiritual garbage dump of human depravity, without purpose, without hope, without the knowing that where we are going to spend eternity. Second application, refuse the praise. If we are to take the credit for what God has done for us, it's like a sculptor saying, yes, the reason why you are saying ooh and I, because I'm the good material to begin with. No, sculptor, the master artist. Another thing you need to pay attention is a false humility. It's worse than showy display of a supposed superiority. Rather, we should offer a simple thank you and praise God and stop there. I say it to the musicians especially. After they play music well, lead the worship well, and people say ooh and ah, and they pat on their back, or some people say certain things, that was great. If you're talented, just say thank you, stop. Don't say, oh, it wasn't me. In other words, give me more. False humility is worse than showy display of our supposed superiority. Third application. Recognize the master. We are not remaking ourselves. God is. He is following his master plan and using his tools. We are simply broken and bent material like old, ugly barns. He has graciously chosen to transform us, him alone. Fourth application. Rest in God's power. While we became like Christ, imperishable, immortal in souls and body, we are still sinful and fragile. Circumstances will threaten to chip us and crack us, even shatter us. But if we rely on God to empower us, we'll be able to handle any situation He permits our way. Let's stand up and pray.